I want to invite you to grab your Bibles and keep them handy because we're going to be using them a lot. And turn to Psalm 100. Steve already read it at the beginning of the service. It's actually interesting that he read it at the beginning of the service because I was reading up on Psalm 100 and found out that a lot of churches actually use the psalm as a call to worship. So it's within that context, within the context of thanksgiving, but even more so within the context of worship that I want to approach the psalm and dive into the psalm. Psalm 100, starting in verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you this morning that we can be here in your presence. God, I thank you that we can come before you with thanksgiving, with singing. Lord God, that you are an awesome God, Father. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would take the words that I speak. Lord, let there be revelation this morning. Lord God, let there be transformation this morning. God, I pray that hearts would be refreshed and renewed. Lord God, and that your glory and your anointing would just come down this morning, Lord God, and envelop our hearts and open our eyes to see more of who you are, Lord God, and what your intention is with worship, what worship is really all about, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just read you the same psalm out of the Message. I'm not generally a great fan of the Message, but sometimes when you read the Message, it just gives a different slant on a passage. In the Message it says, on your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. As I started reading the psalm, and as Steve, we had talked, and he asked me to preach from this psalm this morning, the first thing I was struck with when I read it is the joy that exudes from this passage. Really, when you read it, to me, when I read it, the sparks of joy jump off the pages, you know. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. To me, on the one hand, it's a really encouraging psalm. It's a psalm that really, you know, makes you want to get on your feet and worship God. At least that's what it does to me. And on the other hand, as I began to read it, I recognized that there's a tremendous challenge that's presented to us in this psalm. And it starts really right here in verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. When I read that verse, inevitably my mind went to a song that we sometimes sing on Sunday morning, which is, the Lord reigns, let the people shout. And if you sing that song in Holland, you know, the idea is that you sing, the Lord reigns, let the people shout, and people shout. That's the idea of the song. Well, if you were to do it in Holland, you get the Lord reigns, let the people shout, woo! Because Dutch people just aren't that loud, you know. We're just not like that. We don't like sticking out, you know. We don't like being different, you know. We have an expression, just be normal, you know. That's crazy enough. And you look at me and you say, yeah, amen. But it inevitably leads me to that, because sometimes, and I don't know, you know, and I'm not slamming anybody here, but sometimes, you know, maybe you're all not quite awake yet. It's like saying, when you come in and you say good morning, and the congregation, oh, good morning, good morning. And I, you know, you say to go, oh, good morning. And then, you know, most of you, 75%, join in and say good morning. Inevitably, that's where my mind went first when I read this passage. And then after that thought had been processed, I thought to myself, well, you know, being the good Dutchman I am, I read this. This is a command in the scripture. It starts off with a command. Make noise is the command. That means it's not an option. It's not an option to make noise. It's a command to make noise. And being the kind of person I am, I have a tendency to say, well, you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me to make noise. If I don't want to make noise, you know, I'm not going to make noise. And for me as a person, I value honesty. So I'm, you know, my argument, or I call it an excuse, is, you know, I'd rather be genuine than be a hypocrite. Right? You know, I'm not going to make a joyful noise if I don't feel like it. But the problem with that is that right here, there's a command. Make a joyful noise. It's not an option to make a joyful noise. Amen? You know, and we're not just making any noise, we're making a joyful noise. And if you thought, well, I live in Dover, I'm exempt from that, there is a phrase tagged on there that says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Amen? That means, first of all, that means that what we do here on Sunday morning goes beyond ourselves. It goes beyond this place. It extends universally to every Christian everywhere. When we shout for joy, we're joining with angels. We're joining with millions of believers with a joyful shout to God. Amen? But it also means that none of us are exempt. There is no excuse you can bring to say, well, you know, I don't need to make a joyful noise. You know? You have no, you know, maybe you got up late. The alarm clock didn't go off till 9:30, or it went off at 8, but you didn't get up till 9:30. Your daughter wouldn't cooperate. Your wife was yelling at you, and you get here at 10:35, and you're like, I really don't feel like making a joyful noise to God. But you're not exempt. It says the reality we have to deal with, and the challenge that we face, is that everybody is called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? Amen? All the earth. That means regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your feelings, regardless of your finances, regardless of the state of your marriage, regardless of what your children are doing, or regardless of what your parents are doing, you're called to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that's not just something that is limited to a Sunday morning. Because if you read verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. In other words, it's something that extends beyond Sunday morning. Serving the Lord is something that we do with our lives. It's something we do with our hearts. Because I can, you know, I can stand up here, or Christy can be up here, you know, on a Sunday morning and say, the Lord reigns, let the people shout. And if you don't shout loud enough, I can tell you to shout louder. But on a spiritual level, that's not going to make any difference. You know, I can tell you to shout louder, but, you know, that's not what we're here for. What we do here on Sunday morning, the noise we make is an extension, essentially, of the noise that we make every day of our lives. And there's no escaping that. You can't say, okay, during the week I'm going to make this noise. During the week I'm going to make a critical noise. I'm going to make a gossiping noise. I'm going to make a lustful or an angry noise. And on Sunday, come here and expect to be able to make a joyful noise from your heart. That's why that verse is there. It says, you know, make a joyful noise, all the earth, but don't just let it be limited to Sunday. Serve the Lord with gladness. God has called us to joy, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of our lives. And what we do on Sunday morning should be an extension of what goes on every day of our lives. So the first challenge and the first question we face is, what kind of noise are we making in our lives and in our hearts? What kind of noise are you making? And when you come here on Sunday morning and we do this thing that we call worship, to which extent is that an extension of the worship that goes on during the week? Because worship is really not just what we do up here on Sunday morning. Worship is something that we do every day of every moment of our lives. And as I was preparing this, I sense the tension there. I sense there's a tension because I can tell you, you need to be glad. I can tell you, you need to shout for joy, that the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. But I can hear in my mind some of you say, well, you have no idea. You have no idea what I've been through. You have no idea of my past. You have no idea what I went through as a child. You have no idea of my finances. You have no idea with my wife what I have to deal with day after day with my kids. You have no idea of the challenges you're facing. How can you tell me that it's not an option to make a joyful noise with not only our voices but with our lives? How can you do that? And the reality of it is, no, I don't know. You know, I don't know what you're going through on a daily basis. I don't. I don't know what kind of past you've had. And if you're saying that, undoubtedly it's been worse than mine, because I was raised in a Christian family with godly parents who loved me and showed me the love of God. I'm raised in a tremendously privileged situation as far as I'm concerned. But the question is, what do you do with yourself when you find yourself in that situation? Because I don't know. But I do know one thing. Turn with me for a moment to Psalm 16, just a few pages back. Psalm 16, verse 11. When it comes to worship, quite honestly, this is just about my favorite verse. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Let's read that again. "In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And when I read that, that means that no, I don't know what you've been through. And no, I don't know what you're facing in your life. But I do know the God that we serve. And I do know that in the presence of God, there's not just joy. There is fullness of joy. That means the source of joy, the source of true joy, of any joy that you've ever been looking for, is found and finds its source in the presence of God. And that supersedes any circumstances that you're going through. It supersedes the past that you've had. And quite frankly, it does away with any excuses that we've used to keep ourselves away from God and put in the way of ourselves and God and say, well, you know, I've had all these negative experiences in church. But in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And God is greater than that. God is greater than all the situations that you've faced. And I'm not meaning to downplay what you've been through. I don't mean to downplay the circumstances you might find yourself in. But I do mean to, if it's a word, upplay God. Because God is greater. God is bigger. And His love that we find in His presence, like Frank prophesied, is greater than all of that. And if we can come as Christians to a place in our life where we recognize that true joy is found in God's presence, that's where true joy comes from. And the thing is, if we realize that, things in our church and in our lives, I'm convinced, would radically change. If you and I get a hold of the fact that joy is not found in the trivial things of life, for how many of us does it not happen that we're joyful we have a positive experience in church, but you go home, and how long does it take before something happens that is gone? And you're back to where you started, or even lower, and you're waiting till next Sunday to get the next boost so you can have the same joy again for however long it lasts. That's not the kind of joy that God gives. It's not the kind of joy that we're talking about here. God's joy is lasting. And again, there's a tension there. There's a tension because we're not very familiar with that kind of a lifestyle. And we let our joy depend way too much on our circumstances. We let our joy depend way too much on what we do, what we have, and who we have, and who says what to us. It amazes me in this context that how quickly as Christians we can get offended. It really does. Not only just the theological fact that you're dead and you've been raised with Christ, how can you be offended if you're dead? But God's joy should supersede any lousy stuff that people tell us, anything that people do to set us off. Sometimes I just, let's get over ourselves. There's joy in God's presence, amen? And again, like I said, there's a tension there because we're not very familiar with that. We're much more familiar with the type of reasoning that, for the sake of my sermon, I've called Bon Jovi theology. Not Living on a Prayer. I was thinking more of the song, It's My Life. It's my life. It's now or never. I ain't going to live forever. I'm just going to live while I'm alive. It's my life. Selfish, looking out for number one is the theology of most of the world out there. And sadly enough, that has seeped into the church and it's seeped into our lives to the point where as Christians, it's about our experience. You come to church for me, I need to be built up. I need to get this, I need to get that. And our joy starts to depend on that. I have a little video here that kind of illustrates what happens to worship in the context of that theology. So go ahead and play that.
It is all about you. Now the greatest selection of media worship ever assembled on one CD. All 20 songs. All about you. This amazing collection is great to share with friends. Everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you. Because you are unique, and you love you. All this for only $19.95. I'm ready for $25 to serve you. If you order now, you'll also receive a second CD of Yule Tide Favorites. Call 1-800-ME-ME-ME or put online at meetmyselfdive.com. Call today because no one can praise you like you.
We kind of joke about that with the worship team sometimes. I'll sit behind the piano. It's all about me. But really, we can laugh about it. And this is great. I love the way this is done. I think there's another one out there by the same guy. So if you want to look it up on YouTube, feel free. But this is kind of a reality in our Christian lives, isn't it? For us as a church, when I came on the worship team, we purposefully try to sing songs that focus on God. because it's all about God. It's not about us. Worship is not about us. Look at verse 3 there. Look at what verse 3 says. Because so you ask, how can I have this joy? Why is there this joy in this presence? How do I get there? Verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Read that again. Now, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. In other words, it's really all about God. When you come into His presence, you start to realize it's really all about God. In fact, zoom out for a moment and look at the whole psalm. And you'll see, that's one of the other things that I first noticed when I read this, is it's really all about God. Make a joyful noise to whom? To the Lord. Serve who? The Lord. Come into whose presence? His presence. Know that who? The Lord. He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates and His courts. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. It's all about Him. It's really not about us. What we do with worship up here has nothing to do with your or my feelings. It has everything to do with who God is. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And if that's not the reason, we might as well pack up and go home or all come forward and start crying out to God, one of the two. Because if that's not why we're here, and if that's not the core and the center of why we do what we do, then it's all for nothing, and it's all just to tickle ourselves. And I know for a fact that that's not why Steve is here, it's not why I'm here, it's not why the elders are here. We're not here to tickle ourselves. That's not what it's about. It's about God. And any true worship and any true joy, and for that matter, any true thanksgiving, is birthed in the presence of God. And it's birthed in a realization. It's not about me. It's birthed in a revelation that it's not about me. It's about God. You know, my passion in leading worship is always to lead people to a place where they meet face to face with God, to lead people into God's presence, because I've seen what the presence of God can do in people's lives when people start living in the presence of God. You know, I've seen people set free from demonic oppression in the presence of God. I've seen people get healed in the presence of God. But more than that, I've seen hearts of stone melted in the presence of God. You know, if you look at Moses, Moses went up to the mountain to meet face to face with God. And the Bible says when he came down, his face radiated with the glory of God. And then if you go to 2 Corinthians 3, maybe you just want to quickly turn there. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 7 it says, now if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? If there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. And then in verse 14, it says, but their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ it is taken away. Catch that. Only in Christ is the veil taken away. And if you're looking for that joy that morning, if you're really serious about what you said when you raised your hand and said, I am available, catch what it says there. It says, Through Christ, it's taken away. When we look to Christ, that veil starts to be taken away. The veil of gloom, the veil of anger, whatever it is that's been veiling your heart and keeping you from entering in, will be taken away when we take our eyes off of our circumstances, off of ourselves, our desires, my job, my dreams, my plans, my marriage, my feelings got hurt. And fix your eyes on Jesus. What does the old song say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. You belong to God. In fact, you read the last verse of Romans 11. It says, we were created by him. It says everything was created by him, through him, and for him. Everything includes me and it includes you. That means everything. It means you were created for God. You were created for God's glory. You were created to worship God. That's the reason you were made. Amen? That's the reason you're here. So your time and your money and your feelings, it's not about any of that. It's God's money. It's God's time. And I'm not encouraging to live uptightly, because God has created us to live freely. But we do need to realize that it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about God. Know that the Lord, he is God. And then towards the end of 2 Corinthians 3, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we are transformed from glory to glory to glory. When you enter into God's presence, there is transformation that takes place. Because that's where you were created to be. That's the source of life. That's the source of joy. Amen? 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 is, I've taken over the whole Bible, one of my two favorite verses. It said, God, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. That's what God is looking for. God is looking for people whose hearts are completely his. He's not looking for our worship as such. He's not looking for a joyful noise as such. He's not looking for 10 hours of prayer. He's not looking for you to be perfect, like Frank said. He's looking for your heart. Because God longs for intimacy with his children. That's why he created us. He created us for intimacy with him. That's why we're here. And the heart of God longs and yearns for you to come into his presence, into the intimacy with him, and leave all the stuff behind that you've been holding on to, and just come with open arms to the cross. Give it to him and let it go. You know, when you come in here, don't leave your problems out there. I've heard it said, you know, leave your problems at the door and just come and worship God. No, please, bring them in, leave them here, and then go out. Leave them here. You know, when you come and worship, leave your problems. Leave all the stuff. I'd use a different word, but I was just told this morning I shouldn't use it. Leave all your stuff behind. Apparently, I was going to say crap, but apparently I realize I'm not supposed to say that, so I'll say stuff. But it deserves the description, because that's what it is. Leave it behind. You know, for some of us, what happens on a Sunday morning is often like an adulterous relationship. You know, we come on Sunday. Let me put it this way. How would you feel if you had a wife or a husband who'd come to you on Sunday and say, oh, honey, I love you so much. I love you, I love you, I love you. You're the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And then on Monday, they go out and flirt with every single person that's out there, right in your face, right in your sight, sleep with this person and that person. How would you feel? And when it comes to our worship on Sunday, I wonder to which extent what we do is not the same thing. Because it's easy to come here when the music is okay, at least, I hope. When the presence of God is here, it's easy to worship God. It's easy to say, God, I love you. But what happens when you step out those doors? What happens at your job? What happens when you come home after a long day of work? Your wife is frustrated. Your daughter's crying. What do you do? Which choices do you make at that point? And where is the source of your life coming from at that point? And that's what it's all about. That's why we do what we do, people. It's all about God. Our lives are all about God. What we do. And God longs for our hearts passionately. He's saying, child, I don't just want you on Sunday morning. I want you every moment of every day. I want your heart. I want every aspect of who you are. And when we begin to enter in, when we begin to look at the face of Jesus, like the song says again, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. When we start to do that, the things of earth and the problems you've been facing really will begin to grow strangely dim in the light of the greatness of what Jesus Christ has done for us and in the light of who God is. And then verse 5 here begins to become such a reality to us. For the Lord is good, or like the message says, I like that. God is sheer beauty. God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness is to all generations. God is good. God is a God of love. God is faithful. And we begin to see my chains are really gone. I've been set free. But you can't see that if your eyes are on yourself. Keith Green said, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. And it really is. So I challenge you this morning. There's a challenge in the psalm. Take your eyes off yourself and fix them on Jesus Christ. And you'll begin to see why we get excited on Sunday morning. You'll begin to see, you know, sometimes I feel like every Sunday I want to sing that song, Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. Amen. Amen. Our chains are gone. We've been set free. I'm free to dance. I'm free to sing. Amen. Yes, that's what it's all about. And that's what we begin to see when we turn our eyes off of our circumstances. And I'm going to be frank, for some of you, your eyes have been on your circumstances for way too long. Your past, whatever the excuses that you've presented, it's been going on for too long. And the heart of God is calling this morning and saying, I want you. I want your heart. Leave it behind at the cross. Enter in and find that joy. And then the joy that we make, the noise that we make, the joy that we have, and the thanksgiving that we'll be expressing this upcoming week won't just be a shallow thing that comes and goes as our feelings come and go or as our circumstances change. It'll be something that is permanent in our lives every moment of every day. That doesn't mean you always feel fantastic, but it's not about feelings. You know, and that's why the psalm says, that's why it has so many action words in here, verbs, make noise, serve, come, just do it, enter, enter his courts with thanksgiving, just start giving thanks. If you need a place to start, come to God, say, God, I don't know how, but I want to give you my heart, I want to give you everything I have, and then just start thanking God, start blessing his name. Start singing to him. Come into his presence with singing. Just start doing it. Again, there the message says, sing yourselves into his presence. Sometimes that's what you got to do. You don't always feel it, do you? Frank, do you always feel it? No. I don't always feel it. But God is still worthy to be praised. And when you start doing that, start taking action, I guarantee you that it won't be long before the heavens will open up and God will begin to reveal himself to you in a greater way. He'll begin to reveal the greatness of who he is. Because when God reveals who he is, it won't be a chore to take our eyes off ourselves and look to him. Amen?
Amen.
But we need to make that decision to look to him, to realize it's in the presence of God that there is fullness of joy. Not anywhere else. Not by looking out for number one. Young people, the world will tell you that there is joy in a whole bunch of stuff. But don't believe it. There is joy in the presence of God. That's where true joy is found. If you're looking for joy, go there. Amen? If we get captivated by God's heart and by who God is, then worship will not be worship. You know, worship will not be a chore anymore. Worship will become reality and an easy thing in our lives because it's an outflow. And what we do here will be a natural outflow of what is going on in our lives. And the noise we make will be a noise of joy. It'll be a noise of thanksgiving. And then we can sing songs genuinely. One thing I ask, that I will seek, to see your beauty and to find you in the place your glory dwells. It's the only thing that matters. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe the band can come up and the prayer teams can come up. Let's pray. Father God, I want to just thank you for the fact that we can be here in your presence. God, that we are able to make noise. Lord, because you so passionately long for us, that you gave your son to die on a cross, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God, and I just pray in this moment right here, right now, that everybody that's hearing this, Lord, you will give them a fresh revelation of the greatness of who you are. God, I pray you'll turn our hearts to you. Turn our hearts away from ourselves. Turn our hearts away from our selfishness that comes so naturally. And say, it's not my life, it's your life. It's not all about me, it's all about you. God, and bring that joy. I pray, God, that you will break through the patterns. Lord, break through the excuses. Break through the reasons that we've used for so long, Lord, to excuse or to give, Lord, to give the reasons why things are the way they are. God, break through that this morning. I pray in Jesus' name by your Spirit right now. Break through. Lord God, bring freedom. Lord God, I pray hearts will be turned and hearts will be changed this morning. Lord, that not just this morning, but tomorrow. Lord, when we're at work. Lord, Thursday night at practice. Lord, women's group, men's group, whatever it is that we do. Lord, the Thursday night, I guess it's Thanksgiving. Lord, when we're together with family. Lord, let the thanksgiving and let the joy be birthed in your presence and be birthed in a genuine joy and a genuine love for you. In Jesus' name.